and welcome to Bleed Geek episode number 25. I'm Mike Earl.
And I'm Randy Orvis.
Today we will be discussing the tech news for the week of whatever today is, 11-10-11, some binary number.
11-10-11.
Some binary number.
11-10-11.
Tomorrow's
11-11-11.
Last binary number of the decade or something, I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway, if you're listening, obviously it's near 8 o'clock on a Thursday night. Maybe you're listening to us live while you're watching the Raiders play the Chargers. I don't know. If not, you can always find us on iTunes or on our website at bleedgeek.com. But if you are available, you should always join us live and hang out in the chat room and chit-chat and whatnot and say hey. But yeah.
Hey.
Just like that. Yeah. So, to start out, I guess, our first story, as Randy put it.
Yes. You may, if you're a frequent listener, you may know that we used to be a triage.
A three-piece.
Those are the only three.
A tripod.
So it used to be a third one of us here, but Patrick is, I don't know. There's no way, the way I'm saying it in my head, it makes
Kyle
it sound
quit the band.
Bad, but yeah, he's done with the podcasting biz.
He said possibly he would guest on at some point in his life again in 10 years from now. I don't know.
Who knows? But podcasting, he just doesn't think it's his thing. Work's been busy for him, so he doesn't have time to keep up with the stuff. So it's just going to be me and Mike rocking this stuff. That's
which, really, if you've been listening anyway, you'll know that the last 2 weeks, Pat hasn't been here anyway.
So 3 weeks?
He was here 3 weeks ago, I think.
Are you sure?
This is the third week that he hasn't been here.
My bad.
No one's upset.
So, Pat, he's on to bigger things, so.
So, I guess we thank him for helping us kick it off, but, you know.
He's still around. He'll still be around. So.
Hammock time with a Y.
Instead of an I.
Twitter. We're going to give out his, we're going to have a contest later for the prize. We're going to give you his personal email.
And his phone number.
And his address.
Oh, poor Pat.
And his house key.
Could probably do that.
Just kidding. I'm not giving away any of those things unless you ask, because I don't really care. It's been not anything large happening. We talked last.
Nothing. I was gonna say we can't say that every week.
I know. I feel like we had a lot of big weeks for a while, and now it's just kind of like.
Yeah. So
slowing.
We're at an average.
We're at an average level. So it's been an average level for news this week.
Yeah.
One of the bigger things, we talked about last week that, well, actually, the stats for the Nook, the new Nook tablet, they're calling it now, instead of the Nook Color Touch or whatever the
right
F jumble they called it before. We actually read the stats for it while we were on last week because,
Could you repeat them for maybe people that may have forgotten them?
Yeah, I don't know what they are. It's essentially the same as the Kindle Fire, except for it's got more memory and more RAM. It's got a 1 gigahertz dual-core processor. I think it's got a gig of RAM where the Fire has 512. It has the Fire has 8 gigs, but the Nook has 16 gigs of internal memory, with an expansion spot for an SD card, so you could get up to 32, which the Nook Fire doesn't have.
You can get up to 32 more,
the
or
Amazon,
32 total?
32 total, so 16 more.
Okay.
Via an SD card.
Why 32 gig SD cards are out there? Why don't they just make it so they can support it?
Why don't you call Barnes & Noble and ask them?
I'm going to.
Let's write a letter. To the editor. The Kindle Fire, what?
It costs less than the Kindle Fire.
Oh, no. It costs more. The Kindle Fire is $199, and the Nook tablet will be $249.
Correct.
But the current Nook Color is being reduced to $199 until they're sold out, or I don't think they're going to keep making them, obviously. That would be silly. But currently their price dropped to $199. And they did also cut the price of their Nook Simple. I mean, actually, they have another Nook. They have their Nook Simple Touch, whatever, I think is what it's actually called. Simple Touch is the proper title. But they are also announcing that. Or they did announce that. And they have better software for it. Like, the pages flip better or something. I mean, I've never used either of them, so it's hard for me to say.
Yeah.
But I saw a comparison, and it was smoother. And I don't remember what exactly the price drop of that is, but I think it dropped to $99.
Well, and then just they came out swinging when they announced this thing.
And then they said that they would have Netflix on it when it comes out, and Hulu Plus, and Pandora, and a few other music services.
Do you know if they would be doing Spotify?
I was just wondering that. I don't remember.
I think that would be... I mean, Pandora is the big one, but I think Spotify is the next large competitor.
Let me see if it's...
Rhapsody.
Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... And then, so that was Monday they announced this. I mean, the specs were leaked everywhere last Thursday and Friday. Thursday night was when they first... like I said, it was during our podcast I read the specs, but... but yeah, they were, you know, and it's pretty much exactly what everyone thought, but they were really just aiming to get, and I mean, I've heard a lot of back and forth, like, obviously if you've listened, we've talked a lot about the Kindle Fire being, like, it's gonna be a huge success, and actually I just saw that they ordered another million to be made because of so many pre-orders, but I don't know, I wonder if a lot of people will be more prone to buy the Nook because... You can go into a store and play with it for... I mean, you could go to Target, but they don't have the Fires there yet. They have just the plain Kindle, but Target and Best Buy both, I believe. But I think that you can go into a store and play with it. Look, I think that's a big deal to a lot of people. And I've heard some people say maybe it'll be more of an impulse buy that way because it's a tablet that's... I mean, $250 is cheap still for tablets.
Well, it's like... it only is going to mean awesome things for the consumers once Black Friday hits. I mean, up until then and through Christmas, it's going to be all about us. I mean, an extra competitor with a awesome price tag is going to be, it's going to be awesome.
And when Amazon announced their, I mean, they obviously have their own streaming service already. If you have Prime, you can get instant videos through Amazon. But following, it was the next day after, it was Tuesday, Amazon or Barnes & Noble announced the Nook on Monday. And then Tuesday, Amazon was like, oh, we have several thousand more apps that are going to hit the Kindle Fire next week. And the primary ones being Netflix, Pandora, Facebook, Rhapsody, Twitter. And then a couple of popular games like Fruit Ninja and Doodle Jump. So, I mean, they're making sure that everybody knows, you know, that's cool that they have that stuff, but we do have it too. if I had to pick one, I would pick the Fire because I can't handle the fact that the Nook has that little corner where it's like, it's like, what are you supposed to put a string onto it, tie it to it? I don't know. What's that about? I don't care about the specs. That would be my complete basis for not buying a Nook.
That's awesome.
Because it bothers me. I like symmetry, I guess.
I understand. It's so like, you can hook your lanyard to it.
It seems like such a waste of space.
You're going to strap it onto your side.
Yeah, like, I'm going to like let it sling at my waist while I walk. See? Like a gunslinger.
Everybody's going to do it. Gunslinger. Everybody's doing it, Mike. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah. Yes, very shallow because I base it on looks.
No, that's what you do.
No, but I well, I mean, obviously the Amazon one's cheaper, and because I'm a Prime member already, I don't think we talked about it last week, but Amazon also announced that they're doing their library thing with if you're an Amazon Prime member and you have a Nook, it doesn't work on a Nook app, I've learned, but if you have a physical Nook, or it will work on the Nook Fire, or not Nook, I'm sorry, Kindle or a Kindle Fire, you can borrow certain books like one at a time, like a library. Just
interesting.
But they don't have any of the huge publishers yet. But they're working with them to get more. I mean, so it's like a small base, but it's kind of reminds me of Netflix, how they first started. And even now their streaming service, I mean, some people tell you it's not that great yet, but it's getting there. Yeah, that's, I think, all I have to say about the Kindle and the Nook and, yeah, that shenanigans. Have anything you want to say about the Nook or the Kindle?
No, I didn't pay much attention to it coming out. I just saw the price point and was like, man, like Lydia's been talking. Well, she would like an iPad because of the apps, but it's like
she wants everything.
Not really.
I want a fancy phone. I want an iPad.
I don't blame. Well, if I was in her shoes, I'd be like, why the hell don't I have a fancy phone yet? But neither here nor there.
Right.
Don't tell her.
Okay.
She doesn't listen to the podcast, so it's okay. But yeah. No, other than, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, until Christmas, they aren't going to drop any prices, I don't think. But it'll be interesting to see what happens after the first of the year.
I don't remember the exact date, but I know it's launching pretty close to the same time. I feel like it was the 17th. The Kindle comes out the 15th, so. Yes, the Kindle. I keep getting them mixed up. So hopefully I've accurately portrayed each of them.
Kept your words straight.
Yeah. A Nook. Well, and it doesn't help that it's a Kindle and it's a Fire. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Today, Apple released its update 5.0.1 for the iPhone and iPad, fixing the battery issues they were having. We talked about that last week or the week before.
Week before. I remember.
We talked about it recently. And Randy was of sound mind at that time, so. But there's been quite a few people complaining of battery issues, and then Apple suggested that they had found a few bugs that were causing it. And there was also a developer that created an app that showed a security hole in the iOS 5, which he built an app, submitted to the App Store, got approved. And essentially what it did was it needed it went through Safari somehow, like the certain apps that'll redirect you to allow approval for something. Like something will use your Twitter app, let's say, like Oink, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You connect through Twitter, so
yeah, it goes to
Twitter to get approval, but what he had set it up was that he got approval for something else and it took over your phone, essentially. And as odd as it is, their response was to take his app down, which makes sense. But they also took him out of the developer program altogether.
Yeah, I saw he tweeted that they pulled him out of as a developer. And it's like, really, guys? Like, if anything, he's showing that...
Yeah, I mean, typically this is someone you'd think they'd want to hire to look for flaws like this.
Or work with him, at least.
Yeah, but
whatever.
That's Apple, right? Them bastards.
Those rotten apples.
Yeah, but the security issue was supposedly also fixed in this update. And they brought the multi-touch gestures to the original iPad, which I don't know why they wouldn't have done that in the regular release when they brought it to the iPad 2,
mm-hmm.
seeing as how it was in the developer kit for iOS 4. They just never released it for iOS 4. So, I mean, in the iPad, I don't know why they... Yeah, but it did. Whatever. And lately, people have found two things hidden in iOS 5. One is a panorama app, basically, that the camera does. And then the other is like an autocomplete. Autocomplete, yeah, that's the word. Which the phone kind of does now, but it's a different approach to it. And there's ways around it without jailbreaking your phone, but it's still kind of a hacking workaround. So if you feel very ballsy, I'm sure you could Google it, but... I just wait. I'm sure eventually they'll release it. Or Silverlight for sure is an app that does the panorama view, which is just as easy. Because I've had that for 6 months or something. A year maybe now. It's been a long time. So, I mean, you don't really need it. But it's cool. But obviously they want to make sure it's working properly before they release it.
Yep.
I guess. I think that's all the Apple stuff.
Darn.
Randy's upset.
Yeah. It was announced this week. Or actually, I feel like Spotify came out for the Windows Phone actually last week, even though it came up this week. I'm fairly certain it came out last week, though. But we didn't talk about it, so.
Windows I thought phone, it happened on Monday or Tuesday, though.
No, because I read about it last week. Maybe it happened right after. I don't remember.
Either way.
Spotify coming to the Windows Phone. So for all of you naysayers out there that people are just going to ignore the redheaded stepchild known as Mango phones, Windows phones, whatnot phones.
November 8th.
They're developing for them. So, yeah, I don't know. Spotify's cool. I don't use it.
So if you're like one of 10 of a million people that has a Windows phone.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I made that number up.
Oh. I know Windows phones are they're coming out with some new phones that are actually going to be pretty cool.
I've heard there's actually a lot of good reviews. And then they built, to market it recently, they built a giant Windows phone in New York, like in some park. It's like a giant with live tiles that are actually changing, and like people can go up in it and be a live tile. It's kind of weird.
It sounds weird.
Kind of weird way to market it.
How come they don't do anything like that here?
In Minnesota?
Yeah.
I don't know, because it's cold. God. It's cold in New York. They got all the snow. We haven't got any snow.
I know. It's because nobody cares about Minnesota.
Some people.
Not tech people.
Doctors.
Yeah, but that's not tech.
Sort of.
If you need a liver transplant, come to Minnesota. If you need a Honeycrisp apple, come to Minnesota. If you want to see the latest and greatest tech, go to San Francisco.
Or New York.
Or New York.
Mostly San Francisco.
Yeah.
Sometimes Seattle. As weird as that is.
Or Google.
Or Google. Google Kansas.
Yep. Anyways, we'll keep moving.
Yes.
I heard rumor of a quad-core phone.
It is rumored, yes.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I feel like we just entered the dual-core stage, but I guess it only makes sense. I mean, it only makes sense that it would get to that point, but supposedly it's going to come... The HTC Edge is what it is, which is... supposedly going to come out sometime next year, but it's going to have a quad-core 1.5 gigahertz Tegra 3 processor with a gig of RAM.
It's just... does it seem like the phone industry is just moving lightning fast?
Well, right now? I just feel like...
It just seems crazy.
And not...
I feel like we just got dual-core processors.
That's what I said. Like, I just feel like we entered the dual-core stage, like... But at the same time, it should exponentially increase, like...
Well, I mean, the foundation is already there from the PC world.
Right. So it's just making it small enough.
How do we make
enough?
It smaller?
Yeah.
If they can make the world's smallest car that's 13 nanometers long, they can do anything, Mike.
It's true. But I think the other thing is phone release, like, it sucks because... And not just Android phones, but... Like, they just come out so fast that it's hard to keep up for people, I mean.
Well, yeah.
And even looking at it from the Apple view of the 4 to the 4S, like, they're not necessarily upgrades you need either. It's cool. Like, would you need a quad core in your phone? Eventually you will.
Yeah.
But it'll take a while for developers to start making full use of the programs, I think.
Yeah, well.
Or programs that take full use of the quad core.
Right. I mean, most programs are... The most difficult part would be getting the games to utilize the multi-core setup, mm-hmm. but most apps are, it's a fairly easy process to make them multi-threaded, because a lot of them, based for the PCs, I would assume, I mean, it's like going from a computer to a phone for hardware, you know, it's basically just porting it down, so, I don't know, it'll be a good thing, though. I mean, the one piece of tech that they need to figure out how to upgrade to handle all of this is the battery, then. I mean, dual core is already big enough, but
that's,
what is our battery life going
yeah,
to then?
And that's what I heard someone, you know, that was the first response I heard to it was, all right, that means my battery will go 4 times as fast.
I don't think that's right.
Well, it's not obviously not accurate, but it will, I mean, and then the, I mean, just, yeah. The better the phones get, it's And I was reading an interesting thing about robots too, which is
the one that moves crazy.
Which is off topic. Well, there's a couple. Like, there's been, I've seen a lot of videos pop up recently. I don't know why, but about robotics in general, and they're finding a lot of ways to make robots come to life. Let's say. But the biggest hindrance to them right now is batteries, because they can't power them long enough.
Why don't they invent perpetual motion?
Oh.
What's their problems?
Yeah, geez. Slackers. But just, like, to get enough power, the batteries just become so big that it weighs them down, you know? Which, to move, causes more power. It's just it's never ending. We will see what happens, though. But yeah, look for your quad-core phone next summer, I would guess, for sure. I think they said really the first quarter of next year, but I bet it won't come until summer.
It was rumored to go through HTC first, correct?
Correct.
I mean, edge. They've always kind of been on the leading edge.
No, I mean, HTC makes good hardware, for sure.
If only they could run Apple software, huh?
No, but they're... Yeah. Or I think they'd be better if they just left Android alone, though, instead of putting their own bloatware on top of it.
Yep. And that's the whole thing with Ice Cream Sandwich that they want to solve.
Well, and there was... I saw something around the same time as I saw the post about the quad-core phone, was that there's already a phone destroying what Ice Cream Sandwich stands for by putting their bloatware on top of it.
It all goes to the company making the phone.
Right.
Google is giving their suggestions, but in the end, I mean, it's still open source.
It's open source. They can do what they want.
Bingo.
There's no way to stop it. I'm going to, yeah.
No matter how hard you try.
You can't stop us now.
It's true.
Anyway. I can't find it, but.
That's all right.
There was a phone that's already going to have Ice Cream Sandwich and have bloatware. To come. I mean, obviously the Nexus will be the best. The Galaxy Nexus will be the best, but, yeah. Moving on. Adobe had an announcement this week as well.
Woohoo!
That they are killing mobile Flash.
It's hard to believe it's been alive this long still.
Yeah. I mean, Adobe said, you know, they're going to focus on HTML5, which why they weren't doing that to begin with, I don't know, but they're killing the mobile version of their Flash. They'll still have, you know, the desktop version for videos and whatnot.
For how much longer? It seems like
You think that'll go too?
Oh, definitely. I think they're prolonging the inevitable. I mean, It had its day. I think they just need to realize that sometimes you need to cut it and move on.
Yeah. So. I believe the mobile version, I think, was on like 11.1 or something, roughly. But they're not going to do anything beyond that. I mean, they'll still support stuff that's already running, but they're not going to expand any more on it. And they're just moving on to HTML5. So.
That's cool. I'm a fan.
It's good news, I guess. I saw a lot of people saying, "Well, what are Androids gonna or what are Apple competitors gonna use in commercials?" But that's just silly, anyway. Although that was
one of their things that they used.
You know,
them.
Oh, we can run Flash.
Which, but, I mean, there's a lot of sites still based on Flash, yeah. So it's a good perk still, but it's a dying breed,
right,
so to speak. So,
Firefox 8 came out officially on Monday. You could have got it last week sometime, I think.
Yeah, I've been using the beta on one of my work computers as a test. I don't think, I know there's nothing major with the upgrade, huge features.
Yeah, there can't be. I mean, the level at which they're releasing them at this point is just ridiculous.
Well, it's like they have been...
It's like once a month.
They just turned 7, or will be turning 7, and then this is their 8th release. So they're fairly on pace with one a year.
Well, earlier this year, they came out and said that they wanted to start releasing them faster, and they were going to do four, five, and six this year, but now they're already on eight.
Yeah. These features are completely bogus and not really humongous to make you upgrade, but the first one is improved security. They're always patching, and they're good. They're probably one of the best companies I know for patching, because as soon as the patch is available, you don't have a choice. Oh, I think you can turn it off, but by default it's like, oh,
but why would you ever go turn that on?
We're installing the new version for you, and then it auto restarts and you're happy, you're good to go. I know they have a different way for handling add-ons now, and they have direct Twitter search built in, which I think is kind of cool. You could go to Twitter and search, but why do that when you can do it right from your browser?
Right.
So, yeah, nothing fantastic, but...
The Internet Explorer and Firefox, they seem to be trying to cut down on plugins, too, I feel like. I think that was another thing with their release.
I think they see the benefit in keeping a browser lightweight as possible, like keeping it snappy. Because
right.
Once you start getting add-ons built in,
it slows everything down.
And then
people automatically will assume that it's just the browser. And
exactly.
With such competition right now between Chrome and Firefox, Internet Explorer and Safari too, but they're both kind of secondary, I think.
It's true.
But I think there is the competition there where they want to be seen as the fastest, so I think they're starting to take those things off.
Yeah, well, I know I read an article about, was it just tonight? Just today. It was on my lunch. Talking about Internet Explorer and how they're finally starting to realize that they have a good browser. It's just not the best. But, before it seemed like it just came on Microsoft and they just took advantage of, we're the default browser on our operating system, so no matter what we make, people are going to end up using it,
Right.
But they're finally realizing that, hey, why don't we actually develop this thing to be good? So I know when I was playing with Windows 8, it comes with Internet Explorer 10, and it's really nice looking. Like, it's going to be an awesome upgrade when the time comes.
I think Windows 8 as a whole Microsoft is trying to get back to innovation instead of just kind of... Obviously Vista was a huge change from XP, but, not necessarily in a good way for a lot of people.
Yep.
And especially not in review, like...
Well...
Even though XP is 10 years old, it still holds the market share for OS.
Oh, totally.
But
it's like, people always say that Microsoft's gotten away from the whole innovation thing, but it's like, I would compare it to like listening to a band. Not every band, every song that they make isn't a number one hit, You got some flops in there. There's some songs on the disc that you want to skip over. And Microsoft, they've found the ones that people are wanting to skip and they're improving on them. So at least they're listening to people.
It's true. So Firefox 8. If you're using Firefox, you might as well upgrade.
I think you have to, anyways.
Does it just force you to?
Yeah, it tells you to
upgrade. I know I did it at work today or yesterday.
Mine did it on... I've been running the beta, and it said, hey, switch to the...
To the real thing.
...release, dummy. I said, okay.
It's like the time my phone shut off, because I was still running the beta software, right? It's good times.
Who's A plus K?
Ashton Kutcher.
Oh.
He didn't. There's this big hullabaloo. So, as a lot of you. Anyway, as a lot of you know, there's been some issues at Penn State lately. Maybe you've heard. There's been some misunderstandings or whatnot going on there, and some wrongdoing. But neither here nor there. So last night...
We talk about tech, not child rapists.
Yeah, so last night there was some riots going on at Penn State and whatnot. And Ashton Kutcher tweeted something. I don't even know. I don't know, something that he got a lot of backlash for, both publicly and in the media. Well, that's publicly. Publicly for, both from fans and the media, let's say. But just a ton of just like, I can't believe you said that type of thing. I mean, I believe, is he number one, do you know, for Twitter followers?
If he...
He was for a while. I don't know if he still is. But basically this morning he had a press release. Well, and it's not, it's funny because press releases aren't really press releases these days. He put it on his blog. But it was just the way it was worded. You could tell, you know, it's like someone helped him write it. But basically what he said was, oh, I realized that with 8 million followers, what I say can be taken very critically sometimes. And I'm turning my Twitter handle over to my management, essentially, is what he said. His PR management.
People weren't happy with that.
So then there's a lot of backlash about that today. Not that I'm a huge Ashton Kutcher fan. That's funny. Someone in the chat said, dude, where's my followers? That's funny. But he did come to... he helped Twitter become what it... I mean, he was one of the first people to really take Twitter, and he's been... I mean, one of the reasons he's got into the whole... I mean, he's a venture capitalist now. And one of the huge things that, I mean, helped him get into this place was the fact that he was on Twitter and, you know, he was an early adopter of it, really. And now just the fact that he's not... I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like he's copping out because he got a lot of bad press yesterday. So it's just kind of interesting. There's a good editorial on Gizmodo by Matt Honan, however you say his name, that I read today. So if you want to go check that out, you should. But, yeah, it's just interesting. I don't know. Like, I didn't even know. I mean, I don't pay attention to him that much to see that he had said anything or that there was backlash, but I... But it makes sense at the same time when he has 8 million followers that
that'll be a little bit
someone's going to notice.
Right. Yeah. Oh, well. I don't know. You can't keep up to date with everything. I mean, granted, if you turn on the news, you'll hear about it, you know? Where it's like, I mean, if you don't watch the news because you're doing something else, or it's not like he doesn't have other things going on. So, I mean, I can understand... Just being like, what the F, you know? But,
yeah,
whatever.
It's
I see both sides. It's like, whatever. Say, and in the end, it's like, granted he was in the wrong because he had no idea what was going on. It's like, well, say even, what you want.
Yeah.
Piss people off.
Yeah, and that's just the thing is like, and that the article that I on Gizmodo just kind of said, you know, you've been, the reason you have so many followers is because you've been your own voice this long. Like, you've been, you've been the one tweeting, it's been you personally, it hasn't been some, you know, PR firm, which it will be now, but I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
A plus K.
You know what?
What?
We're Bleed Geek. We say what we want.
That's right. Heard it here first.
So there was some news today, just hot off the presses, about net neutrality. Have you heard anything on that?
They voted today. There's some people, and I don't know the exact senators or whatever they are, congressmen, that was trying to, it was a Senate vote, so senators. And especially because the vote was so close, that makes sense too, because there's so many.
I thought it was only a difference of 2 in the vote. It was actually a difference of 6.
But... So it said
6 don't count.
So no. So they said they won by 3, not 2. But because if those 3 would have voted the other way, it doesn't necessarily 6. It's 6 vote difference, but 3 votes to the middle. You know.
Gotcha.
So it was narrowly passed or not passed. I guess they didn't overturn the current net neutrality laws, which aren't the best, but they're something. Because right now net neutrality makes it. You know, so there's still, it's keeping the monopoly and it's keeping government, for the most part, out of the internet.
Yeah. It
and allowing
well not, so not anybody allowing can someone to own. So you can look up your Prawn, you can look up your torrents, you can look up your hacker sites. I mean, if you don't follow any of this stuff, I'm on an email list that I get emails. It's almost been daily for the net neutrality, urging people to contact their senators, tell them to vote against, you know, support net neutrality. And I've written every time that I've gotten the email, I always write to them because they have like a canned memo that you can send just saying, you know.
To your senator?
Yeah.
Or your congressperson either way?
Yep. And so... Net neutrality is a good thing. It's the way it should be. It keeps Big Brother out.
I mean, neither of us are obviously not net neutrality experts.
Correct.
But I know that what we have now is better than what they want, and that it does need to be fixed to a point, because the way it is right now with internet providers capping things is getting a bit sucky, but...
And I can understand that there's some stuff that could be blocked, but then it starts turning into all of that funky, you know, gray areas, and all of a sudden it's the, you know, Big Brother assuming their role is larger than what it should be. So stuff is getting blocked when it shouldn't be, and vice versa. So I don't know. It's easier just to keep everything separate and go that route. So
yeah, and it was rumored that even if it did pass, Obama was going to veto it anyway, but it didn't get that far, so it doesn't really matter, I guess, as it is, right?
Yep.
So yeah, that's net neutrality.
Yep,
in a nutshell. So earlier this week, a little game came out, Modern Warfare.
I've never heard of it.
Never?
Nope.
Modern Warfare 3?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it came out. Last week was my birthday. My birthday present to myself was a day off on Tuesday, so I could pick up Modern Warfare 3 and play it all day like I did last year with Black Ops and the prior year with Modern Warfare 2. Went to a concert, got done with the concert, went straight to Best Buy, sat in line for about 45 minutes, got my copy, installed it, and I didn't play it right away because it was 2 in the morning and I was tired. So I set my alarm for 8 o'clock, got up, I played multiplayer for 6 hours straight, and I realized that I had been playing for 6 hours straight. And in a nutshell, if you want to play multiplayer, don't waste your money. It's no better than Black Ops. Modern Warfare 3 is still built off of the same graphics engine that Modern Warfare 2 and Black Ops is built on, so there's no huge graphics changes. There's some tweaks here and there. The nice thing about it is, you know, if you built a computer to play Modern Warfare 2 or Black Ops, that you can play this game without issue, unlike Battlefield 3, which is you basically have to build a new computer to play.
But that's a good sign, though, right?
Oh, yes, it's fantastic. But I am now, I think, just over 3 hours into the campaign. That's the single player mode, and the storyline is fantastic. It's roughly a 10-hour single player game, because I'm about 30% done now, and it's awesome. Black Ops lost me, kind of. I lost interest around 3 hours in because it was just getting very, very predictable. It seemed. It's probably your phone. But yeah, I don't know. So multiplayer, not worth it. If you want to play single player, it follows off the Modern Warfare 2 line, or off the storyline from there, builds right off that. Yeah, so it's good. If you want to play multiplayer, get Battlefield 3. It's awesome.
Build a PC first.
Yeah.
Did Battlefield, I mean, I assume it would have had to, but it came out on the consoles too, right?
Correct. But they limited the graphics. With like PC.
It's funny because like I've seen so many commercials for Modern Warfare. And I mean, obviously those ones are aimed more at Xbox. And
yep.
Like I feel like the PC market, you don't really have to promote for because they...
Well, people pay attention.
Right. But for the consoles, there's a lot more competition for the space, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially, whatever. But,
Yeah, I've read lots of reviews about Battlefield and how a lot of people say it's not... You're better... On a console, you're better off buying the Modern Warfare 3 because it's a game that is built around the console hardware, whereas Battlefield 3 is almost too much for it. So they said, I've heard that there has been scenes in there in multiplayer that are laggy, but they, to help control that, they also limited the number of people that can play online together. So you have smaller maps, smaller total people. Like with PC, you can play 64 people on a map, whereas Xbox, you can only do, I want to say it's 16, 8 on 8.
I would assume so.
And then they also turned it down so you get a max frame rate on the TV of 30 frames per second as the maximum, whereas PC you get 60 and you can run high resolution. So, yeah, those are my in a nutshell reviews.
So, overall, out of 10.
Modern Warfare 3?
Yep, overall. Everything into consideration.
7.
Seven. Yep. That's not horrible. It's a C.
It's a C. I mean, it's nothing
average.
It's nothing fantastic. It's not horrible either. If you have money to spend, it's worth getting. There's lots of people playing. If not, you're not missing out.
Do you
anything.
Think that, like as far as PC goes, do you think that people filter actually back to Black Ops instead of continuing to play Modern Warfare as far
yes.
as multiplayer?
Oh, that's one thing I forgot to mention with multiplayer on Modern Warfare 3 is the ranked games are all party based, similar to an Xbox. So you say, I want to join a game, and it matches you up with people. Whereas with Black Ops, it's all dedicated servers, so you can play ranked matches with the same people sort of over and over, which is nice because you can kind of build a repertoire, I guess, with other people. And Modern Warfare 3, you can play on dedicated servers, but they're all unranked matches. So, I don't know. I mean, I'll play both still because a couple of my friends are playing Modern Warfare 3, but I think I would end up going straight back to Black Ops. In other news, I read this evening while you guys were doing your other podcast that tomorrow we mentioned is 11/11/11, and Amazon actually, it's not on their site yet, but it was announced on Amazon Wireless, so that's their cell phone / all that kind of stuff section of their website, that they are going to be selling the new Motorola Razr tomorrow for, it's a $300 phone, they're going to be selling it for $111.11. So
a certain amount of them, or like, do you think it's a limited amount?
I couldn't find, it's not on their site at all right now. So it's funny. But I found the link off of, Gizmodo tonight.
Huh?
So I'm waiting to see if they update their site.
Also Amazon released an update for their app store today, version 2.0. And I saw a lot of bad initial reviews anyway. I mean, obviously, I've personally never used it, because anyone that listens knows I have Apple stuff. But everyone else that does podcasting with us, now that Pat's not here, because I can exclude him, just now I'm the only Apple, because everybody else either... Well, you and Josh have Android, and Matt has
Samsung.
Nokia or something. I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
He's got some 80-year-old phone. but, so, I don't know. Have you ever used the... And I know Josh did, because I made him sign up to buy Plants vs. Zombies
no,
for free when they were given away for free.
I was going to do it, but I figured since
wait
my
till
phone...
you get a new phone.
Yep.
Yeah, but just the revamp. They just revamped the look, and I'm sure it's in. Probably part of it is in amping up for the Kindle release or the Fire release, because obviously that's gonna heavily be based, and maybe it'll look better on that than on a phone. But just the UI, I've heard bad reviews about. If anyone cares about that. But yeah. I saw someone in the chat room put up the Steam website was hacked. This was put up just a couple hours ago, so I don't know.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, and gamer data was exposed. It says hackers customer information.
That's completely huge, because lots of people have PayPal and credit card information stored in there. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out.
On the plus side, they're handling it, it would seem, a little better than Sony handled everything.
Well, they're coming out right away and saying...
Well, it says on here that it happened on Sunday, though. Our Steam forums were defaced on the evening of Sunday, November 6th, when we became investigating and found intrusive goes beyond the forums, the intrusion. So they have, yeah, they've obtained access to the database and the additional, in addition to the forums. Yeah.
The hacking site is awesome. FKN0WNED. Fucking owned.
that's great.
That's awesome.
But yeah. So I think that pretty much covers all of our news for the week, though. Would you agree?
I will concur.
As you probably already know, you can always find us on Facebook. And check out our website. We've been putting up daily geek reports, just little tidbits from the day. Like 2, 3, 4 stories, that whatever happened that day, just little quick notes about it. We usually get that up by around 7 every night, I would guess.
Yep,
on
7
weekdays.
Is usually pretty...
So, I mean, check that out every day. And just our website for other things. And of course, you can always, you know, listen to our podcast. If you have missed some before, go back and listen to some of the older ones, because who knows what you'll find in there. Randy doesn't. Yeah. And follow us on Twitter, @BleedGeek. Check out The Point After Attempt if you like fantasy football, our other podcast we do right before this one, for football nerds. Football geeks, not nerds, but those are geeks too. And yeah, you can email us or whatever, get a hold of us somehow.
What's our email? It is fans at,
I don't know, Pat's not here to tell me,
fans at bleedgeek.com.
And
or you can follow us on Twitter.
I said that, Twitter at bleedgeek.
You can give us a call.
You can call us.
406-79-GEEKS.
That's correct. 406-79-GEEKS. Or 406-794-3357. And, of course, you can always follow us personally on Twitter. Mine is at Mike037.
I am at Crandall111. Tomorrow's my day, Mike.
Because it's 111?
111111.
It's close. It's not really. I mean, your day was kind of...
No, it's my day.
10 days ago. 9 days
ago. No, 111. That's my... So my birthday is 111. My ID at work ends in 111. The road I grew up on was 111.
Yeah, but that doesn't make tomorrow your day.
It's all ones.
That's four ones, so you only have three.
You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing yourself. And with that, we thank you for listening, and enjoy your evening.
With that,
I'm Micro.
I'm Randy Orvis. Keep it classy.